It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's edition of Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103. Coming up on the show between now and 8 o'clock. Is it time to think big for tourism in the Midlands? An entrepreneur and adaptive skier has a fantastic idea that could be developed in the Midlands with the right backers and the right money and the right levels of enthusiasm and imagination. Hear about that later on in the show. Also, Una McCutcheon is the National Director of the .ie Digital Town Awards. There's 7 finalists from the Midlands shortlisted in this year's awards. Una will take us to some of those projects that recognise and reward projects with a digital element created by town groups, individuals and local communities. Really cast a spotlight on some fantastic work taking place across our communities. And this evening I'll be joined by the co-founder and CEO of What's for Dinner, John Shields. He'll talk about their continued growth of the food delivery business and as more towns are added to its catchment areas. If you want to join this evening's conversation, as always, the quickest way and easy way to do so is by texting WhatsApp to 083 3010 103. Always delighted to hear from you and get your input on those business news stories that are affecting you and your business and how you do work on a daily basis. But on that, I'm going to start this evening by going up to Ballymore in County Westmeath. And I'm delighted to be joined by the owner of Sip Coffee and Garden, Nicky O'Callaghan. Now, like a lot of businesses and in that sector, they really are feeling the pinch. Now, Nicky's business is slightly different. She opened in September 2022, so not a COVID business, not one that was set up pre-COVID. Therefore, there was none of the COVID supports because the business didn't exist. They have no tax debt warehoused at present, so they're not one of those many businesses. And that's a story I'll touch on later on. There's a big day coming on the 1st of May for a lot of businesses where all of that money, in fact, will be due back. But Nicky's business doesn't apply to them because they weren't even set up at that stage when the debt warehouse was first opened for tax debt. What they are noticing, though, is ever-increasing costs of doing business. Now, they provide a wonderful service. They have refurbished an old building up in Ballymore. They've brought new life into the main streets of the town. They've got great customers. Their social media is always on fire. You would absolutely be you'd be dribbling looking at some of their pictures, the food, the coffee, everything about it that they do is top class. And that is, you can see that by the reviews they get. They've picked up accolades, they've picked up awards. They picked up a Midlands 103 Hospitality Award last year for Best Barista. So this business knows what to do. These people know how to do business. But saying that, they still feel the pinch. And it seems becoming more and more difficult every week to find light at the end of that tunnel. Now, they're far from giving up. That's not what Nicky's on to talk about here tonight. But she's on to talk about the reality of what it's like to do business. Now, I learned something yesterday. That the tax or the VAT rate... Now, I suppose to put this in context, when Nicky set up her business, the VAT rate in hospitality was 9%. It's now gone up to 13.5% as well. So this was a new thing for them to have to deal with. But actually, the VAT rate on a scone is different than the VAT rate on a chocolate brownie. Sounds absolutely insane. Very good evening, Nicky.
Hi, Ronan. Thanks for having us on. And thanks so much for the kind comments. Really, it's great because a lot of effort. You nearly need a full-time job to keep your social media and to keep everything up to speed as well. But no, you're right. I mean, the complexity of running a business in hospitality, be small, local or large in a bigger town, it's just there. And it seems to be, it just adds to the challenge of running a small business and keeping the whole thing ticking over.
Yeah, I was shocked yesterday when you mentioned that even within, never mind
no,
dealing
true.
With change
yeah.
in VAT rate, but the VAT, what it's related to the chocolate content in the...
It is, it was like something like over 40% of an item if it has that over chocolate or something, yeah. But it just meant that as a new business owner, I had to go back and I had to rejig everything. My VAT returns are massive and really just struggling to keep on top of the revenue and how can I keep everything right and just making sure everything is present and correct. And it turns out, I am in I have a great cohort of coffee shop owners and they brought that to my attention actually. And without that kind of peer support, I wouldn't have known. I had to go back and change all the prices and everything, not the prices, just my cost price, and understand that my margins are different now based on, for all the world, the chocolate content of an item.
Here you go.
So it's a learning curve every day. But
yeah, and like any business, you know, margin is everything for a business. And if whatever you have to do to adjust to get that is thing. And of course, what we can't do straight away is go and look at increasing prices, because I think every customer, every consumer has a threshold. They have an upper threshold at which point they won't pay anymore for certain products, irrespective of how good they are. But you've been building a thriving business there. As I say, very well rewarded, highly regarded business too. You have nine people employed. It was a disused building in Ballymore. What was it attracted you into developing a coffee shop in the first place?
Yeah, no, look, I suppose we were away for a while. We were in the UK and Scotland, and we came home and started a family, and we had an opportunity to open SIP. And, you know, we opened the business based on a very viable business plan at the time. And then I suppose change after change and inflation and increased costs all around, they just started to, God, you just be getting used to one system and then maybe another nearly affliction on you. And, you know, that on top of the general maybe challenges of running a business day to day, like machinery, big items maybe breaking down, or... We had one just most recent challenge, and it's very burdening, was a burglary 2 weeks ago. And, you know, that's after been kind of all-consuming for the last couple of weeks. But so now we're past that, but it's kind of you're back then dealing with the day-to-day kind of mundane bits that you think, God, sometimes these things are just a little bit too much kind of headspace. You know, are they really needed? Are they a bit of a nuisance? Or can it just be done a bit more simpler?
Yeah, and a burglary is the last thing you want. And was that, were they targeting cash, or did they do any actual damage?
Yeah, we're just unlucky to be on a kind of a streamline of burglaries on a particular night. And I don't know what they thought they were going to get in a coffee shop in a rural village, but, you know, they did. We were targeted and that was it.
Yeah, and so, again, but it's another disruption to a business, because I assume, even for yourself, starting off in September 22, getting hit then, I suppose, with like ever increasing energy costs, that's probably a huge factor, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's massive. And, you know, the energy companies, you know, they're grand, and you can go around looking for cheapest rate, all you can do, but you can't. Like, there's still bills that have to be paid, and you respect that you are consuming a lot of energy in our business between fridges and all electricity, and it's just a natural overhead, but they are high.
And anything you can do there in terms of looking at alternative suppliers? Does anybody approach, say, from the SEAI to say, look, you can go and we can give you a 90% grant for solar panels and reduce your energy costs? Is there any engagement from business groups or from organisations like that?
Yeah, sure. No, I've just kind of tried to outsource it myself, to be honest, because it was always part of the business plan to try and be, you know, as green as possible. And in fairness, the local enterprise office, it's grand, you know. I have, you know, there's Green for Micro, and there are a lot of, I suppose, grants out there and that, but ultimately you have to have the money there and then and disposable to pay for these things. And unfortunately, I don't have that rainy day sum to fork up at the beginning. So I would love to, and actually our building is so south-facing, it's absolutely the perfect location for it. You know, when I have my quotes, I just can't move forward because the day-to-day running costs and the cash flow is just so incredibly tight. And there's no two ways about it. Yeah, you can avail of all these things, but you can only do it when you're in a position to do it.
Yeah, and that's a very fair statement. I mean, for any young business, not to have a huge pile of cash in it is very normal. It's very natural. I mean, it's often, you know, look at how many global, you know, multi-billion gazillion tech companies we know who've never actually made an operating profit, but still they continue to grow as well. So there's a lot of imbalance out there. When it comes to actually like looking at cutting costs, what have you had to do? I know you've had to look at you've adjusted your opening hours to suit as well to try and just minimise that.
We did. We took out a day there, and also I am trying to kind of upgrade my fridges. We just are all playing our part. The staff are brilliant. Like, we just knock off everything we can do. We have cut down the hours, but we have a very clever till system. I've lots of that, and it just, the trend showed me when it was made most economical sense to be open and not to be open. And then our menu, you know, you adapt your menu a little bit. We do buy locally as best we can, but I've had to shop around, and that's just the matter of fact. And just little things like, well, the DRS is one thing. It's that deposit return scheme. I don't want to go on about it too much, but it's something like, I'll give you an example maybe. I don't know, I have a fridge from Coke and I can only stock up with Coke products, say, for instance. Probably shouldn't be branding, but it's just there are struggles and constraints. So you do try to save money, but sometimes you actually can't because of all these kind of changes that are brought in. So you kind of have to toe the line.
So as a cafe owner, are you then obligated to put the actual surcharge onto those cans?
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah. And then you're nearly actually doing your best to follow customers around and go, oh, don't forget to bring your can with you if you're going to get your 15 cent back. And to be honest, that's an extra headspace. We should be focusing on customer service and cleaning up and getting the next order out.
Do many customers actually seek the cans or actually take them if you offer them to them?
It's about 50-50, but some of them just pass no remarks. They pass no remarks, say, oh, fired in the bin. Like, they're not interested in it. We have found that. But it's just another kind of, for all the world, straw that breaks the camel back. And it is an additional effort for me to dispose of them then and to do a few bits. You know, you just, there's this unreal guilt that if you don't maximise how you're using the DRS in your business, that's just another example of where all these variations and complex measures are put in. And it's not even a big thing. Like, it's, you know, I have far bigger fish to fry than trying to get a 15 cent back in the
account. Absolutely. And you can see how that 15 cent could, you know, it could irk a customer if they're being charged for it, but for yourself as the business owner, getting it back,
that's
crazy. But again, you said you don't have to store that stuff. You have to gather it up. You have to bring it.
We do.
Again, it's just adding, as you say, another thing that really the business doesn't need at this point as well. But I suppose like a lot of business owners, everybody automatically assumes business owners have all the answers. They know everything about doing business. But I think you fit in with pretty much every other business owner out there. You're kind of wondering sometimes, what's needed? Like, what kind of support do we need? We have a Minister for Enterprise from Westmeath. Do you think Peter Burke can turn around and do that? And given that Taoiseach Simon Harris said coming in when he was elected, he was going to go and help the small businesses. I mean, help is needed, or business like yours and so many other across the Midlands. I mean, the Restaurants Association of Ireland says that 400 closures have already happened this year. And they reckon that the cost to the exchequer is already more than it would have cost the state to keep the VAT at 9%. That's the scale of what we're doing. We're talking in the region of about 200 potential closures a week. Have you any feeling, anything come to mind that
you
think?
I think it's a very real fact. I think we see some fabulous places around the Midlands and you just go, oh my goodness, they're lost. And, you know, all these places, they create the third space for people, this connection point. I know our business is driven by passion. We're a family-run business and we love what we do and we care about what we do. And local sport is immense and we're so lucky in that regard. But you ask what ministers can do. I mean, there is a government package being created and it is designed to go to SMEs, kind of to reduce the PRSI. But I suppose maybe that's for bigger employers, I don't know. But you know they're actively working towards something, but it kind of needs to be sort of now and maybe not grant space or not this drop in the ocean. Like, you know, I've applied for anything I know that's available and local.
But even things like the increased cost of business grant there, which is getting money back from your commercial rates, unfortunately, it's probably a drop in the ocean, really.
It is, yeah. I'm actually looking, I opened mine today and I see it. It is a drop in the ocean. Like, I don't know, I don't know yet how that, I haven't availed of it yet. I've applied for it. I just don't know yet what we get off it or how it contributes. Actually, I'm not sure. So,
absolutely. No, you can understand, and you can feel and hear the frustration in your voice.
It's kind of happening now. It's dragged out. It's sort of like kind of urgent help right now, maybe just to simplify things a bit. Maybe for me, like you say, there's no lenience for a newer establishing business, especially an Irish business. And I just think with all these local businesses, they are struggling, and there's no smoke without fire, you know. And it's quite difficult. And I suppose if you ask me, I don't know how to fix it. I don't necessarily know what I need. I suppose as a business owner with local staff and a fantastic place we have here, a community hub, I just want to take home a satisfactory wage. That's all I would like to do. A wage for me, a wage for my family, and that's all I need to do to keep this business going. And to, like, we give so much to here, to our community. Yeah, you mentioned we rejuvenated an old derelict building, and you know, we give teenagers their first jobs. We've definitely like increased kind of lots of things, like increased the price, like house prices and stuff. So that ultimately is adding to the value of our village in general. So we know how great our little business is, and we know how much we contribute. But equally, it has to be viable, and it has to give back too for all the efforts that's put into it.
Absolutely, and brilliantly said, brilliantly said. I'm going to bring John Shields. Mm. John is the CEO and the co-owner of whatsfordinner.ie in this conversation, because John, you probably deal with thousands of restaurants around the country. I'm sure Nikki's story is one that you're deeply aware of, and I don't just mean Nikki's, but in every restaurant around.
Yeah, I would completely empathise with the problems that she's facing at the moment, and the more than many of the restaurants that we partner with. I think personally it's inevitable that at some point the government are going to reduce the VAT rate, even if it is temporary. Mm. So I don't understand what the delay is. You know, you've already outlined the math on it there, Ronan. You don't need to be a genius to understand what you've said. So the people in the government, they're crunching numbers, and it's nonsensical.
Yeah, that's it. It seems to be, it was batted away for so long, and yet we heard it will be, there'll be alternative supports there. But clearly, you know, and I know that, and I commend Nikki for coming on as well, because so many businesses are in this space, and unless something happens to give every business, a business that's well run, that are deeply aware, very, very tightly watching their numbers, know exactly where how they can eliminate costs, reduce as best they can, there's no reason why these businesses should fail. And certainly if we know, if we're looking at these stats already, and we'll come back to John after this break and find out more about his business and get a better sense of the industry. But Nikki, thank you so much for coming on this evening. I'm just going to say to people again, if they're passing anywhere near Ballymore, call in and grab a coffee, grab a cake, grab a sandwich, say hello to Nikki and the team there. And look, at I think something has to happen nationally to really help businesses like yourselves, people who are there in it for a passion, in it for a reason. All your expectations are a decent salary, a decent wage for the people, create that community hub as well, and do something that you love. So Nikki O'Callaghan from Sip Coffee and Garden in Ballymore, thank you so much, and all the very best in the future.
No problem. Pleasure. Thanks a million.
There we go. And there you go. Like, you're hearing it there firsthand from a business owner. The range and scale of the challenges. And you can just, can't you just begin to empathise when you think of things like the deposit return scheme and the extra work that's putting on businesses. Things like, you know, the VAT rate being different on scones versus biscuits and cakes and all. Never mind the fact that the VAT rate could change. John Shields just hinted there that they're seeing this replicated across the country as well. Deeply concerning times for lots of small businesses. Let's hope, and particularly in the Midlands with a new Minister for Enterprise on our doorstep, things can change. Time for me to take a quick break. After that, though, you'll meet the owner of whatsfordinner.ie.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Still to come, find out about the seven Midlands groupings and community groups and, you know, individuals who've been shortlisted in the .ie Digital Town Awards for 2024. And give you a snippet too of a great idea a local entrepreneur had for a potential game-changing tourism facility that could be created and developed in the Midlands if the right people and the right money was put in place for it. But before that, when I pick up my two eldest kids from school, they're both boys, 12 and 10, before they even say hello, daddy, or ask anything else, the first question out of their mouth is always, what's for dinner? Which is now followed up by, and daddy, don't say .ie. And I suppose that's the power of a brand name and a title of a business or a name that really just does what it says on the tin. Well, the man responsible for that is the co-owner and CEO of whatsfordinner.ie, John Shields. And John joins me now. John, it does what it says on the tin, as another famous ad once said. Take us back to the start. When did whatsfordinner.ie first start?
Well, actually 21 years old this summer. The business went way back to 2003 when my now business partner, his name is Jason Gallagher, he actually seen a gap in the market in the Galway area. He reached out to a number of restaurants that weren't delivering at the time. So very prominent restaurants such as your Eddie Rockets, your Abracababras, etc. And he compiled a local menu brochure with approximately 15 different restaurants in, printed off 10,000 copies, distributed them around the city, operated from his mother's kitchen table, had the landline at the time. Customers would get the brochure through the letterbox, look at the menu, first to market in the area. The restaurants I mentioned hadn't previously delivered, so there was an excitement factor about bringing those brands to the delivery market. They would be ringing what they thought was the office, but it was actually Jason on his mother's kitchen table. He would take the order. He would then text the order or ring his brother, who had a motorbike with, and they made a food delivery box in the back. And he would go to the restaurant, pick up the order and drop it out. And that was the humble beginnings.
I think many people would be surprised here. It's 21 years old, yeah. But a huge amount of development in the past couple of years. When did you kind of identify that there's potential to roll this out way beyond Galway and go even further afield?
Yeah, so if we fast forward to approximately 6 years ago, Jason was running the business successfully in Galway, and he had the vision to realise that, you know, he could bring it nationwide. So I'd known Jason for a number of years. We actually live in the same rural village in County Galway just by pure chance. At the time, I'd been working out of Dublin, but I was based in, I'd done time in Washington, D.C. I'd been in London, Manchester, Belfast. I was in the hospitality industry, so I understand the hospitality industry very well. I'd moved back to Galway. My family was still living in Galway, and I met up with Jason, and he said to me, John, would you like to go into business? I have an idea. I'd like to, you know, I want to take this nationwide. I think we can do it together. And that's when we started progressing, and we're in 14 locations now around the country.
And did you fund that yourselves through the business, or did you go outside to look for investment inward?
There's never been any outside funding in whatsfordinner.ie. In fairness to Jason, he funded a lot of it himself at the start. He'd done particularly well over the years. You know, he grafted hard to and very prudent in terms of saving. And he had an amount of capital that he could invest in the business in order for us to take it around the country.
And of course, that almost coincided with growth of, you know, and there is some well-known global brands that also operate in the country. Did you always see yourselves as a challenger brand there that you'd identified maybe something that you can do different?
I think we do offer something different to restaurants and to our customer base. Primarily, restaurants have to maintain a profit. You've just spoken to the last caller, yeah. There, Nikki. You can see how tough and rough it is for them. So I guess their priority, the two priorities, one, it's to make sure they get the best possible rate on somebody delivering it. And secondly, they also need to make sure that the people delivering it are going to ensure the reputation of their company is intact. So they need faith and trust in a company. And I think the fact that we're local, we've been in business for a long time, and the fact that I think every restaurant owner that we deal with in this country has my phone number, has Jason's phone number, and they feel at ease that if there is going to be a problem, and Ronan, there does be problems in this industry, it's a very problematic industry in terms of what can go wrong along the journey, and they reach out to us and demand that we put it right.
You're probably talking things like even down to the time it takes a delivery to get to a certain location, the wrong food getting there, which may not be the fault of... Now, are these your drivers, or are they actually subcontracted in?
Yeah, the majority of them are subcontracted, and in the Galway area, we have a number of drivers that do some hours for us, you know, themselves, as working for us.
It keeps it rolling as well. So again, when it comes to expanding out in the 14 towns, how do you typically go about that? Like, how do you, you know, people probably are aware of the brand name already, they're aware of what the company does. Is it hard to go then and engage with the local restaurants or the kind of singular one-off businesses to get them part of your service then, or does that naturally fall in because others are doing it anyway, so let's be part of the posse?
I think what benefited us over the years was the fact that either myself or Jason were walking into restaurants with our business cards as owners, and we'd request to speak to the local owners. And if we got to speak to them, the fact that they were talking to somebody in charge of the company, who would have a huge, obviously, interest in making sure things were done right, and by meeting the right people, I mean, we met in early days when we launched in Mullingar, we met David Quirk from his restaurant in Mullingar.
What's the kitchen?
Yeah, fantastic reputation. Yeah. We brought them to the delivery market. In more locally in Tullamore, Peter Wheeler at Bueno Ice Cream. We brought his brand to the market locally, delivery. So I think by going in and approaching people on a one-to-one basis, because like many businesses, Ronan, people buy from people. And if you're going in and they like the cut of you, which I like to think people did like the cut of us, and we've delivered on what we promised the majority of the times, that, you know, people have trusted us. And as we've expanded, our reputation then has expanded with us. And it's a small country. When things go wrong, it's not long before other people hear it. And people are very quick to make a phone call to somebody in the know to say, you know, how are these boys? And you can put your faith in
Ireland. Ireland is tiny from that regard. The word gets around very quickly, both positive and if there was. And often that old adage of if something did go wrong or there was something they perceived as going wrong, if you can handle that quickly, which, as you say, if people have your mobile numbers, you can handle these things quite quickly. From a technology perspective then, technology obviously plays a big role in this. In terms of developing that, having an app function, is that in-house as well, or have you got a partner on board, or how do you manage that?
Yeah, it's all done in-house. We have proprietary software. We also do something which we believe is totally unique in terms of our competitors. So we employ in the office every day from 8 o'clock in the morning until midnight, staff members that we call customer service agents, and they follow the travel path of every single delivery that comes through the website or the app, and they follow it from the second it's received to it going out to the driver. They can see when the driver arrives in the restaurant. We can see when the driver's been handed the food. We can see when the driver leaves the restaurant, and then we can see when the driver drops it off. So we have staff members that follow that path of every single order, and when they see an anomaly, we have the proprietary software to reach out to them and communicate them in real time. So that's where we believe we have an advantage. So we have people in our office in real time reaching out to the drivers, asking, is there a problem? Is there a delay in the restaurant? Why is it taking, for example, 20 minutes to do a 10-minute journey, etc. And we can keep on top of things that way, which is obviously hugely to the benefit of the customer and to the reputation of the restaurant.
Yeah, hugely important to keep a track of all those numbers and all that data your business is gathering. But when it comes to technology too, you've also embraced social media, and you're becoming stars on TikTok, apparently.
Well, I'm not becoming a star, and I don't wish to be a star on TikTok, in all fairness. Our marketing department advised us some time ago that we needed to be doing more on TikTok. So we obviously had brainstorming, and we came up with an idea of doing a video where we're doing price comparisons, we're doing presentations in restaurants, and we were wondering who we might get to present that. So we threw ideas out there as a company. Would we use an influencer? Would we use somebody local that might be known? And actually somebody puts Pat, who is actually our office manager, he's actually the voice of our customer service, because if you phone up our office and want to know where your delivery is or how long it's going to take, 90% of the time Pat's going to answer, and he's the person that resolves the problem, and he does his job extremely well. So somebody suggested, let's let Pat do it.
Yeah.
So we did obviously test videos, and I was blown away by how comfortable and natural he was in front of the camera. And we put them out on TikTok, and I think the awareness and the amount of times they've been viewed proves that they've been a hit.
Yeah, can you track or see the actual tangible benefits from that? Like, can you see increase? It's very difficult with social media, I guess, to do that. But
yeah, look, you can to a certain extent. It's probably a bit early in our journey yet to apply the data that we have from that into a tangible benefit, which in this case you would want would lead to an increase in orders.
Yeah, but then I think, you know, I think TikTok is becoming, or at this point is probably the most used search engine for a certain generation of people. So it's almost like if you're not there, if you're not on it, you're potentially missing out from.
I was at a marketing meeting in Dublin this morning, and I came back from it, and TikTok was one of the topics on it, and I think the customer base by the generation it's up 514% in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's your target demographic, which it's everybody's target demographic, you know, the viewership there is incredible.
Yeah, that's it. I know even the station put a lot of videos up, and if they haven't quite cracked exactly what is most popular, but some videos, the views on them is absolutely ridiculous. Once the Americans don't close it all down, everyone's back to square one again. But I suppose, John, talk about the future of What's for Dinner, and even just, I know we've touched already, but the future of the industry as well. Like, how positive are you? Are you seeing more continued growth, or you've seen a period of kind of consolidation and just building what you have?
I think we're seeing a period of caution within the restaurant industry, which is obviously our industry, albeit we deliver across the restaurant and the grocery sector. For us as a company, we're a small company. We've always grown organically without, as you pointed out earlier, no external funding or investors. We don't have big endless checks or balls of money the way maybe the foreign apps do. We do expect to launch in Dublin in the next quarter. We would hope on the back of a successful launch in Dublin that we'd proceed on to the likes of Cork and Limerick and then obviously other areas.
You really are building on that experience and that knowledge already and tackling those big urban centres. So, is it provided the restaurants are still open?
Yeah, well, look, we're talking with restaurant owners every day, and I think every week we get a phone call from one that's telling us, John, I'm very sorry, but we've gone under. I'm like, whoa, you shouldn't be apologising. You know, you've done a marvellous job to keep it open this long, and the challenges they're facing are incredible. So it's extremely difficult, and the sooner the government move on it, obviously the better.
Yeah, we heard from Nicky O'Callaghan there from SIP in Ballymore, like saying exactly that. And I think that is, there's a natural tendency to feel that you've done something wrong, but actually there's thousands of business owners and thousands of business families affected by this, and change is needed. John Shields, thank you so much, and here's the continued success of What's for Dinner. If you want to check them out, whatsfordinner.ie, and even order your food. And you know what, on that, there's something that we can all do. If you're in a business and you're service-based, or you're in a business park in one of the towns around the Midlands, you know, bring your team out, bring a few people out, find a local cafe, a local restaurant in the next couple of days. Maybe do it once a week. It might be one person, it could be two people. Meet a client. Don't bring them to your office. Bring them to one of the coffee shops. Bring them to a local restaurant. It will all make a huge difference, and it will keep all these businesses vibrant. If we get over the hump, everybody will be fine on this. There's nothing sure there. But do that. Small gestures can make a big difference on that. Time for a quick break now. After that, find out about the digitaltown.ie awards. Seven Midlands projects finalists in the awards for 2024.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
.ie is the trusted national registry for 330,000 domain names. It protects Ireland's unique online identity and empowers people, communities and businesses connected with Ireland to thrive and to prosper online. And this year, 2024, marks the fourth year of the .ie Digital Town Awards. They recognise and reward projects with a digital element created by town groups, individuals and local communities. Una McCutcheon is the National Director of the .ie Digital Town Awards, and Una joins us this evening. Una, hope you're making the most of that beautiful sunshine.
Certainly am. Yes, certainly am.
Una, these awards are in their fourth year now. What was the original objective of them?
Well, as you mentioned about, I suppose, our purpose as a company, we're a profit for good company. And we want to be able to shine a light on digital achievements of businesses, towns and communities across Ireland. And there wasn't anybody else doing that. And it fits very neatly with our purpose of enabling people to thrive online. And that was really the motivation behind the awards. And they've gone really from strength to strength over the last 4 years. And we're delighted to see seven projects, if you don't mind, from the Midlands region. So I think that's an indication of how popular they are.
I think so, yeah. I think that maybe certainly over the years there might have been this perception that, you know, everything going digital and the way of the world and Internet of Things might actually be the downfall of our local communities. But I know the examples you're going to touch on this evening, they really are showcasing that it's the total opposite.
It's the total opposite. And it really is to see digital as an enabler of other things. So if you take the example of towns, for example, they are kind of codependent with businesses. So a town needs thriving businesses to remain sustainable and to attract people to work and live and invest and all of those things in that local town. So we're all about the importance of local towns, and businesses form a really strong backbone behind that. And, you know, there's such a range of examples of projects, and they range from very sophisticated to maybe more entry-level projects. And what the judges are looking for is the impact of the project. So, for example, we've had a few in the past around using social media to reduce isolation and loneliness, particularly amongst older people. And that's a really vital thing to do. And it's using simple tools like WhatsApp and teaching older people how to, you know, maybe download the RTE player or other practical kind of digital skills. And then you look at other projects. For example, there's one which is in the Midlands. It's midlands.ie, in fact, is the name of the website. And what it aims to do is to provide a digital showcase to show everything that is available in the region. And it's really a destination marketing platform, so to attract investment to the area, attract workers, to attract visitors and tourists, and people to live in the community, and also addressing the, you know, the ability to learn and for students. So it's a catch-all type of platform, but it's a very integrated project for the three counties.
It is, and I have to say it does a fantastic job at putting a spotlight on lots of businesses that maybe people around the Midlands may not be that aware are actually in their neighbourhood and doing phenomenal things, you know, in food production, in manufacturing, in digital services, mm-hmm. in service provision. And it's always a great way of showcasing that, as well as the community initiatives that are there. But you mentioned first about how technology, you know, we're kind of looking at increasing the connection between people. But we really see some Midlands towns have taken this to a whole new level. Mount Rat, for example, has a digital twin, and it's a sustainable communities plan, and it has been shortlisted in the community digital category as well. I mean, we're into big things when we're talking about creating digital twins for Midlands towns.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, maybe just in case your listeners aren't aware of what a digital twin is, it's basically a three-dimensional replica of a physical environment, in this case, the town of Mount Rath. And what it does is it collects data, and it can get updated. So in other words, it can do predictive analytics, it can help with planning, it uses real-time data. So it is really, I suppose, at the cutting edge, and it's great to see businesses and communities contributing the data for that virtual digital twin.
And absolutely, and again, it's very forward thinking. It's looking right ahead, and again at the very future of these towns as well. We see in the tourism category lots of like Destination Athlone, another finalist there in the digital tourism section.
Yes, absolutely, and I think, you know, Fáilte Ireland has put a lot of effort over the years into e-business supports for tourism businesses, and you know what we're seeing is that this has paid off. And they've, you know, really invested widely across skills and other kinds of grants. And again, it's to create that sense of pride of place, you know. So come to our town, visit our wonderful castle. Here's all the other fabulous things to do nearby. And there's all sorts of digital technology can be used in tourism projects, from QR codes to virtual storytelling, digital storytelling, all of that kind of thing. It just makes visitors and tourists feel more connected with what it is that they're looking at.
And that's Una McCutcheon, the National Director of .ie Digital Town Awards. Seven Midlands projects named as finalists in the 2024 awards, and the awards will be announced at a gala dinner in the Sheridan Hotel at Lone on Friday the 24th of May 2024. All those various projects are all invited. You can find out more on .ie Digital Town Awards. Fantastic local initiatives, you know, Digital Twins and Mount Rat, fabulous stuff, great work by people. And to anybody listening, keep it up. That's what keeps our communities vibrant. Time for a quick break. After that, a huge idea, a project that maybe, is it a reality? Is it something that could become a reality in the Midlands? Well, if you listen to the person who's kind of proposed it and is saying, you know, for somebody to get behind it and see where it goes, it certainly sounds like a very, very viable business. Talk to you after this quick break.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
I had the pleasure of speaking to entrepreneur Seamus Riley on Saturday View last weekend, and Seamus was talking about an accident he had 20 years ago and his discovery of adaptive skiing and the impact it has had on his life and on his family's. And he's asked the question, could we have similar facilities here in the Midlands? Here's some of my conversation with Seamus from Saturday. To summer sports, you mentioned even horse riding, so really lots of sports can be adapted. But one of the other key messages in your piece was, if you could go to an adaptive ski centre in Snow Zone in Leeds, in the middle of Yorkshire, why can't we do that in the Republic of Ireland?
I know, and it's always been there, and I suppose we were coming back from the last ski trip and I met a lady from the Backup Trust, and she was saying she skied all over America and Canada, and she said, what is there in Europe? So again, it was my, I kind of go, oh, I know of X, Y and Z in France or Austria where you can go to, and then I realised that the awareness of skiing, even adaptive skiing in Europe, is not that great. So I need to do something to try and highlight A, there's an awareness there. B, can I help somebody? You know, even who's going through, family who are going through spinal cord injury, they're new to it, maybe I can help them in some other way. Again, trying to, why don't we have these facilities in Ireland? So in the UK, there's 10 such facilities. One of them, for example, is in Telford, and that's serving the population of the West Midlands, which is roughly about 4 million people. So it's not in Birmingham itself. They're all outside of the main city centres. So if we've got 10 of them in the UK serving a population of 65 million, it's about time we had one in Ireland.
That's what I'm just writing the same numbers here myself, like one would suffice.
One
Ireland,
would suffice. Yeah. And we have a beautiful, beautiful county here in Offaly. So, you know, we could really make it work. We have some rather tall buildings that are maybe made redundant or can have a dual purpose. But before I go there, in Holland, they have a place called Snow World. This is the largest indoor snow facility in the world, beating the likes of Dubai. There they have 5 slopes. One of them is 230 metres in length. They bring in 500,000 visitors a year into that facility. The company runs it. They have 7 such facilities in Europe. They have turnover of 8 million and profit of 2. So it is a profitable type of a business. And in Denmark, the most exciting one is they have a place called Copenhill. Now, Copenhill is just phenomenal. It's a waste energy plant on the outskirts of Copenhagen itself. What it did is they looked at, traditionally we would hide a building like this. So they looked at repurposing it.
I saw the designs of that a couple of years ago. It's phenomenal. It's typical Scandinavian.
But it's just typical of what you can do. Rather than wrapping, you know, an ordinary type of facade around it, you can build a ski slope.
Yeah.
They've kind of got a viewing deck atop of it. They have an apres bar at the bottom of it. They get 500,000 visitors a year. And out of that, there's only 60,000 skiers. So again, it shows that if we were able to do something like this into the Midlands, maybe look at the old brickhead factory that's there outside of Burr. You know, it's got lots of facilities. It's got a good height. There's going to be some work done on it. But, you know, between Bordermona and the government and there may be some local enterprises and whatever, this could actually happen.
Never a truer word said. This could actually happen. And on last week's show, I spoke to Mary Henze, the tourism activator for Offaly, and she said, people with big ideas, new concepts, proven concepts. Mary said, look across to Europe. Well, that's exactly what Seamus was talking about there. There are examples of this really successful business that could happen in the Midlands. I'd love to hear your ideas over the coming weeks and months because, you know what, who knows what we could develop here in the Midlands. Sure, it was done in County Longford, it can be done in Leash, Offaly, Westmeath too. That's it, that's for me this evening. Hopefully you've enjoyed this evening's show, found it useful. I have to say, beautiful to hear the story from Nicky O'Callaghan, they're the owner of Sip Coffee and Garden in Ballymore. That's the challenges businesses are facing. Let's see what we can do to help all those businesses. I'll talk to you all next week. Take care.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.